Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network. Joined by 2-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan, I'm Christopher Price, the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe and bostonglobe.com. This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Today on the Patriots Report, Chris Hogan and I talk quarterbacks in the draft, and we explain why we're either Team May or Team Daniels. We also look at some draft contingencies and one of the reasons why New England might be having some trouble attracting top free agents. We wrap up with a look at BetOnline's projected over-under totals for the 2024 Patriots. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, let's start here. You're coming off a very successful run on Good Morning Football. What was big time television like, my friend?
You know me, it's lights, camera, action. So anytime the lights come on, that's my true and my best self comes alive. So it was a good time. I enjoy being on that show. Those guys are a lot of fun. You know, we got to meet some of the new the rookies coming into the league. A couple guys are going to get drafted, so it was fun to kind of being around that. And good to see McCourty and all those guys. So it was a good time. Enjoyed it. Not as good as this here.
Yeah, though, well, yeah. Of course. I was going to say, I'll say it goes without saying. It's not.
Yes, exactly.
It's been a while since we've connected. You were in New York. You've had a few things. I was in Louisiana. I had a few other things going on. I spent last Wednesday watching Jaden Daniels throw at LSU. My colleague Nicole Yang was at Drake May's Pro Day at Carolina on Thursday. The people at Patriots had 9 people there. At LSU, I think there were 8 at Carolina. We're basically now approaching the end game right at this point. It's who's it going to be? And look, the thing can go in a million different directions. They could trade out. As we sit here right now, it's Daniels or May or Daniels. And part of it is because I saw him throw and I just got all jacked up watching him. I'm Team Daniels at this point because I think you need to take a big swing. And he, for me, represents a big swing at number three. I think he is an absolutely electric playmaker. Yeah. He's a dynamic presence under center. He's terrific. It just, he checks all the boxes for me.
How big is he?
What's up?
How tall is he?
He's 6'4", 210. Okay. I'll say this, and we can get into this a little bit. He's a little slight. A little thin. You know,
Lamar Jackson thin.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder
he's
if
pretty he, can good quarterback. Grow
into, he can kind of grow into the body a little bit.
Yeah.
Or, and this is, again, we'll get into this too. I asked Brian Kelly about this. His ability to slide and his ability to protect himself. I remember Julian using the phrase, you got to know when the journey's over.
Yep.
You know, and he's got to understand that more and more the older he gets. First of all, let's start here with this. Who, if you had your druthers and both of them were there at three, I don't think it's going to be the case, but if both of them are there at three, who are you going for?
You know, this quarterback thing just has me so, I go back and forth, right? Because I almost don't believe in drafting a quarterback first overall because you just don't know how these guys are going to pan out and you're investing so much into it. But that being said, listen, Jaden Daniels, he's played at the highest level of competition. He's playing, you know, against the best teams in college football for how many, I don't even know how many years he was starting there, but
a couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah. Few years. Right. And he's got all the intangibles. He's a phenomenal athlete. He can throw the ball. It seems like he can throw the ball down the field. He can make some reads. So again, what it comes down to is how well does this translate over to the NFL? Because college football is way down here, and NFL football, you have to take a gigantic leap to get to I'm just going to say good quarterback in the NFL. Like, we're not talking about great or elite. There are only a few elite quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And there's a lot of good quarterbacks. Those guys are capable of commanding a huddle. They're capable of making multiple calls in a huddle. They're able to diagnose defenses on the fly. They're able to put their team in the right protections, right? This is a lot of stuff that these kids don't necessarily do in college football. Most of the time, listen, the most exotic coverage you might get is, you know, blitz zero or cover six, and it's half to one side and quarters to the other side. NFL, it's, you know, things, A, you're going to see one thing and then it's going to change the second the ball is snapped. So that's what I get most interested in, is how well are these guys able to adapt to that, right? How quickly can they pick up an offense, a brand new playbook? How quickly can they create or establish this relationship between their teammates, receivers, running backs, tight ends, especially? How quickly can he communicate, you know, with an offensive line, right? Stuff that he probably really hasn't done too much of. I don't know LSU's offense very well, but I know the communication goes up. So those are all the things that I'm interested in. I don't think anyone's sitting here saying any of the top five guys that are going to get drafted in this are bad athletes. They're all good athletes and they're all good quarterbacks. They can all make the throws. How well can they make that transition to like that next step? So I like Jaden Daniels. I think that's probably our best interest is to get a quarterback. I've seen a lot of things out there. You know, Adam Schefter's tweeting that, you know, now the Patriots are out on a quarterback, but you're telling me we had about the entire Patriots organization down at Jaden Daniels.
Nine guys.
That to me says, hey, we're taking a quarterback, but you know, who knows? I mean, things could happen. Here we go with Jacoby. I don't know, but I think where we're at right now, I think hopefully we give Jerod the time, right, to grow and to turn this team into what he sees is going to be. And I think he's got to start somewhere. He's got to start with, hey, if this is going to be your quarterback of the future, then let's draft them. Let's not wait around to pick up a free agent or to wait into next year's draft class. And then next year's draft class is not that great. And then we got to wait till next. I don't want to be the Cleveland Browns, man. I don't want to have all these lines. We got Brady. And then it's like 20 quarterbacks. We don't need that. So let's, you know, go. I think I like Jaden over Drake. I think that either one, I don't think I'm going to be unhappy with, obviously, until they actually step on the field and see how they perform, you know, because at the end of the day, it's about performance, you know. We can watch all their college tape in the world and say, God, this is a great quarterback, and then he steps on the field and it's not that great.
One of the things for me that stood out about Brady, an underrated thing about Brady over the years, was his ability to know how to get hit and to minimize that hit.
He never got hit.
Exactly. But is that something, as a wide receiver, were you taught that? Is that a learned, is that a skill that you have to understand? How much of it are you born with as a player? How much of it are you coached to understand? Help me try and figure out here, because I want to know, like I said before, I want to know, can Jaden Daniels learn that at the next level?
Yeah, I think it's really a progression. When you're younger, you're going to try to run over everybody. And even probably into college, you're still this bigger athlete and you're probably still trying to put your shoulder down and run through guys. But when you get to the NFL, man, we're not giving out awards for big hits and being a road warrior here, going down just to like put your shoulder down, get hurt and fight for an extra yard. Julian was great at it. We've talked about it before. We talked about it with Pop this year, right? We got to know when the journey's over, man. I mean, he had a bunch of plays this year where probably should have just got down, you know, fumbled the ball, because these gigantic 300-pound defensive linemen who are running 4.5s are chasing you. I mean, I'm blown away by these guys 40 times. Like, they just keep getting faster and faster, and they're just as big. So they talked about it with Lamar. We talked about it with Patrick. It's a learned thing. He's going to go out there. I guarantee he's going to try to impress some people, kind of win over the locker room. I'm sure that he's going to try to fight for that extra yard, but that's a learned thing. And at some point, coaching staff, Gerard, or, you know, if we draft him, obviously, or whoever is coaching him, be like, listen, you're a quarterback. I don't need you putting your shoulder down, your right shoulder or left shoulder, trying to fight for a yard. You are protected in this league, right? Mm-hmm. No one's trying to kill you unless you're standing in the pocket. If you get on the run, people are so hesitant now to really, you know, there's still some guys flying around. Like, maybe if you try to take, but if you show you're going to slide, they're going to back off. Just slide, move on, and let's go. So he's got to learn. I hope that he learns quick and not, it doesn't take a learned experience for him to get to that point. But again, like, these kids are competitors, man. If a kid goes out there, he's like, you know, Baker, where he's like literally trying to run over defensive linemen. I mean, dude, you see how pumped his team gets from that sort of thing, right? And some of that stuff maybe he needs to do in the right situation. So it's definitely a learned thing. I think he'll learn very quickly that this is not the type of league where you need to try to run over anybody. And, you know, let's move on, let's play, and just get to the next down. And be available, right? That's it. That's the other main thing for us here when we're talking about NFL players and these guys that are top one draft, you know, in round one draft picks, top picks, or just guys that are starters. Like, how available are you throughout the year? Because we're talking about 100% injury rate in this league. And, you know, they've put a lot of rules in place to protect the quarterback specifically. So stay available. Don't get hurt.
The quarterback position, I want to talk about two intangibles that struck me this week. One, after Daniels had his press conference, I followed him out in the hallway. Right outside of the media area. And I talked with him one-on-one for a couple of minutes. And one of the things I asked him, I said, is there any trepidation, any worry, any concern about the possibility of following a legend like Tom Brady? You know, the legend of Brady, the legacy of Brady still hangs over that franchise. Is there any level of pressure that I'm not aware of that might come along with that? And he just smiled and looked at me and said, look, man, I walked into Death Valley after Joe Burrow. I think I can handle it. Good so answer. I'd love that. I was expecting some sort of very conciliatory, you know, Brady's the best, I'm just going to try and follow in his footsteps if I get up there to New England, everyone loves Tom. Right. The answer that he gave, the idea of welcoming that pressure, welcoming that burden on his shoulders. If I'm a Patriots fan, I get goosebumps reading that.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I've read a bunch of stuff that I know the Pats met with Drake, and Drake has been pretty open about how the meetings went and how excited he was talking to them at Gerard specifically, and where he wants his team to go, the future of what he sees this organization. And I think Gerard is doing a pretty good job of, listen, this is not Bill's team. This is not Brady's team anymore. This is not the New England Patriots that you knew and grew up watching. This is my team. This is how it's going to go. This is what team I'm going to run. This is the team that I'm trying to put together. And I think he is voicing that to every single one of these kids that sit down in front of him and say, you're not talking to Bill Belichick. You're talking to Gerard Mayo, and this is my team now. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is the type of team that I'm putting together. So we're going to, I guarantee it's all about competition. It's all about bringing in guys that want to compete, that want to play hard, that want to do their job. That's never going to leave. Right. And if you want to come to this kind of place where I'm going to coach your ass off and we are going to think, you know, we're going to fight and claw and scream, you know, do all the things that we need to do to create a winning organization again. That seems like he's vocalizing that pretty well to a lot of these guys.
The other thing about intangibles, and again, like I said before, I am Team Daniels all the way, at least as we sit here right now on April 2nd. I can't shake the idea of Michael Penix Jr. I can't. Yeah. And again, we may have even talked about this before. I wrote something about this week, that Penix didn't have teammates last year. He had apostles. It was just people believed in him so deeply and so completely. And the guys at Washington just look at you and say, you don't know until you've been in the huddle with him. You don't know until you've been on the sidelines with him. I hate using that as the ultimate measuring stick, but how much can that move the needle when you're talking about a conversation like this?
I think it's got to be able to move the needle. I mean, you're looking for a leader, man. This is a guy that's going to be inevitably going to be a captain of your football team. If your quarterback's not a captain of your football team, then he's not the right guy. He's not the guy for the job, right? Even as a rookie, I don't really care. Like, you are a guy that is literally touching the ball every single play. You are commanding a huddle. You're commanding 10 other guys. And in an entire locker room, people are relying on you to make the right decisions. Like, we're looking for a leader. That has to open a conversation about Penix that, like, hey, like, let's make sure that we take a closer look here and make sure that we're taking the right guy. You know, I haven't heard anything about Jaden, like, being a guy that's not that a leader or anything like that. So I wouldn't say that we would be making a wrong decision in taking Jaden. But if, like, like, you know, just in case that something came up, be like, well, Jaden, I don't know if you know this, but, like, no one liked him, right? No one on the team liked him. No one hung out with them. No one was really friendly with them. He didn't really talk to people. It's like, well, hold on one second. Like, is this the type of guy that we want to bring into our locker room? So I think that's all part of the process. Not our job, but that's the organization. That's the scouts. That's Gerard's job to get these kids in front of him, talk to them, see what type of person they are. Right. We know what type of football players they are. That's easy. We can just turn on the film. But, like, what type of person are you? What type of leader are you? What kind of teammate are you? Right. How do you handle adversity? How do you deal with tough situations that come up in the middle of a season that you have to buckle down and really that leadership has to come out? Right. Like, how do you deal with that sort of stuff? Kind of put them in some sort of weird game scenario. It's like, hey, things aren't going well. You know, you're down by 4 touchdowns in a Super Bowl. How are you handling that? All right. Are you just going to be quiet and not say anything? Or are you going to try to, like, get your guys together and, you know, rally a whole team? So, I mean, listen, I would want to know if I was taking a guy first overall and making a pretty big investment into my future as in an organization, I would love to know what type of person I'm drafting and not just only the football player.
Let me make it really clear too. I'm not advocating for the Patriots to take Penix at number 3, but there is a path to Michael Penix if you entertain the idea of something like the Minnesota trade, you know, apparent, you know, the interest that they've shown apparently in the number 3 pick, giving up number 11 and number 23. If you could maybe get to the tail end of the top 12, you know, you might be able to get one of those elite wide receivers, Roma Dunze. I don't think Malik Nabers is going to be hanging around there, but you get someone like that. And then the theory is you could get Penix toward the end of the first round. You would have your wide receiver, you would have your quarterback, and you could kind of go from there.
Yeah. I mean, all scenarios are on the table, right? And, you know, it was funny, you know, talking to these guys on Good Morning Football. It's like, you know, Jason's going through his first draft, and we're just talking about 1, 2, 3. We're not talking about any trades or anything like that. Like, I mean, you know, in the past, you know, these huge, big trades happen and people are trading up and trading down, and we're trying, like, I, you know, who knows what's going to happen on draft night, you know? So I think, you know, it's interesting because this is Gerard's first draft, right? I know he has tremendous amount of help. And I know there's going to be a lot of counsel to what happens, but you know, maybe Gerard is just, hey, like, listen, we have a third pick. I don't want to really shake up the boat too much and try to say, hey, this guy could be available at this point. Like, what, you know, I don't think he wants to do that to himself. I think that maybe given a few more years underneath his belt of the whole experience. And now he's like, okay, cool. Like, let's roll the dice a little bit, but I think they want to find their quarterback. And if they got nine guys over ahead of pro day, I think they're scouting it, you know, they're scouting these guys pretty hard. And, you know, I think it's a good move for them to just kind of stick with what they know, kind of, and start building this team. Right. And they have some pieces, but there's a lot of pieces missing. And I don't think we need to shake things up by making all these insane trades. Hey, unless there's a trade that comes on the table that we can't refuse.
Or Herschel Walker kind of a.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
If Minnesota comes to you and says, look, we'll give you Justin Jefferson and, you know, whatever, and the next year's first round pick in 11 and
the next, and the next year. Yeah. You need a generational type of player to make be like, hold on, let me put a pause on taking Jaden number three and let me actually entertain this for a little bit. But I think for the time being, unless that thing comes on the table, I think that number three, we're pretty locked in at.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
All right, we talked about, I brought up the name Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers. I'm not saying that they're there at three, but I want to ask you about wide receivers. It's a commonly held consensus that Marvin Harrison Jr., we've talked about it before, he's the top guy in this class. He should go in the top 3 to 5, even with all the quarterbacks. But is he doing himself a disservice by the way he's handling things, not working out, not talking to anyone? I'll say this, seeing Nabers run at LSU, I think he ran a 4.3. I firmly believe now the gap between Harrison and the rest of the wide receiver field may not be as dramatic as I first thought. What are your feelings on that?
My feelings are that these kids are too soft. I think that there's just where they have so many expectations, and like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, all like first round, second round, these kids are working out, man. And you're trying to make a name for yourself, and you're trying to get to a place that you've dreamed about your entire life. And you want to show that you're willing and able to put the work in to get there. And I think, you know, the combine is one thing, but that's just so, you know, it's meetings, right? You're, it's your first impression with teams. You're on the field for a little bit, but you're not, you know, maybe not really totally in your best body shape or like condition, right? Because you've just been up all night at meetings and this, you know, so the pro day is like your chance to go through your routine. You're in your own stadium. You're in your own locker room. You're going through, you can prepare the way that you've prepared for your entire college career, and you can go out and showcase your talents again. Like, to me, that's just a missed opportunity. And to not want to speak to anybody and to not want to kind of show these teams what type of person you are. Listen, man, we know you're a great receiver. Well, I can turn on the film in 2 seconds and tell you that you're the best receiver that's coming out of this draft. But it goes back to the intangibles, right? Of, dude, are you a good person? Mm-hmm. Are you a good teammate? Like, we've seen a lot of these guys that are not good teammates. And guess what happens? They don't, I'm not going to say they fail, but they don't last places. They just move on. We're just going to, we're going to trade you. And then it's like, you're moving. Like, do you, listen, if that's who you want to be and you're going to make your money, great. But if you're like trying to establish a legacy and you want to be in a place for a long time and establish, you know, create relationships with an organization, like that's the kind of stuff I'm after, man. I mean, go to a place, grow, make it your own, right? And be a part of something that could be very special. So I think it's a wasted opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, to not compete and to not talk and to not show what type of person you are. Because at the end of the day, I don't know the kid. So he could be a phenomenal human being, a great teammate. And why would you not want to showcase that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that's just me. You know, the undrafted kid who didn't play college football. So
well, as a day one guy, you know, the flip side to it, Marvin Harrison can afford to do it. That's the argument, man, the whole thing.
The best receiver in this draft.
Yeah, like, he is. He's the best receiver in the draft. He's going to be calling the shots. And this is, again, the counter argument is that this is the new era of player empowerment. Yeah. He is doing what he wants to do. He's setting the agenda. But again, watching some of these guys work out, specifically Neighbors down at LSU, and not just running the 4.3, but exhorting his teammates who are going through the bench press. Yeah. When he ran his 4.3, Jaden Daniels tore ass down the field after him.
Yeah.
And they had they embraced after the 4.3. To your point, there is a real genuine feeling of connection, of rooting for teammates. Those intangibles, those continue to really shine through. And I think that to kind of build on your point, I think that Harrison is maybe missing the mark just a little bit here when it comes to maybe engendering some goodwill around the league.
Yeah. I mean, also, listen, I'm not going to fault the kid totally. Someone's counseling him to do this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the people around him are clearly not either. They're not speaking up or they're saying that you're doing the right thing. So that's also part of the problem is these kids are being counseled to, and we're giving them all of this power when in reality, like, these teams are making a gigantic investment into your future and to your life, who, like, as a human being, they're setting you up to be this person, you know, so that you can make all this money and have all this success and become the player that you want to be. Why would you not want to know who's drafting you, right? I'd want to be in a room with Gerard and kind of, you know, chalk it up a little bit and say, hey, like, what kind of team am I being drafted to, right? But that's me, right? I love to talk ball, and I love to, you know, I like people to know that I'm a good person. I owe every single place. I didn't burn any bridges when I played. I always treated everyone with respect, and that goes from the training staff to the equipment staff to anyone in the organization, because those people work very, very hard to make sure that you're able to do your job throughout the week and specifically on Sundays. And I never took that for granted. And, you know, I don't know the kid, and he could be a phenomenal human being and a great young kid. And, you know, I think he's obviously doing what he feels is best for him and his situation. And I'm not going to sit here and fault him for that, because he's going to get drafted top five in the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, my advice is, like, there's a lot of people that put a lot of effort into making sure that you can be the player that you want to be. And that's important to make sure that that stuff doesn't go unnoticed.
Few more questions before we wrap up here. First of all, I do a mailbag for the Boston Globe every week that I get a lot of really good questions. And I got a couple this week about cap space and who's to blame. We talked about blame pie before this year. Who's to blame for the Patriots' inability to sign some of these free agents? That was the question that was posed to me. And well, hold on. I brought up a couple of different things here. Look, they did try and extend for guys like Calvin Ridley. They made an effort and just it couldn't work for whatever reason. Money, personality, whatever the case may be. How tough is it for an offensive player on the market now, when I'm not talking about the high-end offensive skill position guys, but if I'm a middle-of-the-road offensive skill position guy, let's bring up Austin Hooper, a guy they signed, a tight end they signed. How much of a crapshoot is it for me to go to New England right now? Because I don't know what kind of coach I'd like to think I know what kind of coach Gerard Mayo is going to be, but I don't know what kind of coach he's going to be. I don't know what situation I'm walking into. I don't know who the quarterback is going to be this season. And weighing that uncertainty against maybe getting overpaid.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, like my free agency experience, you know, when I, you know, wasn't going to get signed back to New England, I'm looking at everything, man. I was not in the point of my career. I had just won two Super Bowls. I had been to three. I wasn't looking to go to a team that didn't have an established quarterback or didn't have like I got a taste of winning, right? And that's what I wanted. That winning feeling and being in an organization that wants to do everything to win football games, that does not leave you. And it probably, you know, made the latter half of my career a little bit more tough. But you know, So as the free agent, you know, if you don't know anything about Van Pelt, you know, nothing about Gerard, you only know who Mr. Kraft is, you know, because, you know, he's Mr. Kraft and you know that he wears Air Force Ones, you know, like even at Augusta, then, you know, like it's a tough situation to, you know, to kind of want to get to walk into. So it's probably been tough for these guys, you know, I heard Calvin Ridley didn't want to pay the state tax up here and wanted to be a little bit closer to family. So I think there was more financially motivated. I think the number was on the table for him, but it just, you know, it didn't make sense for it, but it's been a little frustrating, you know, like I think there's been a lot of guys out there that we could have tried to make something work that just would have made this team better. And, you know, we haven't done it. And I'm sure the fans are a little bit frustrated. I'm sure they had these high expectations that Gerard was going to come in and they were going to bring in all these guys to like, okay,
burn some cash.
Let's
we're going to burn some cash.
We got some cash. Let's try to get some guys in here, but we haven't done it. And, but again, like, you know, I'm not in those rooms. I'm not in the meetings with Gerard and the organization. So I don't necessarily know what their game plan is. So I'm going to have to sit here and put my trust in Gerard and the organization that they know what they're doing. And their only focus is to build a good team. And maybe the free agents out there weren't good fits. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're just
the
waiting.
Guys.
Maybe they're waiting. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this. I give the guys who jumped on board a rebuild, you know, Osborne and Hooper and some of the other guys, a lot of credit because you don't know fundamentally what you like to think you know what you're walking into.
Yeah.
And with Hooper, there's some familiarity there with Alex Van Pelt and, you know, that background. But it's tough walking onto a team that was 4-13 last year and having a real sense of optimism when you don't know the real, you know, the possibility, the inner workings of the franchise.
I mean, I think
you're going to kind of play out.
I think that Gerard and the staff is going to lean pretty heavily on how close they were. And yeah, we were 4-13, but we played a lot of games where we could have been in a double digit winning season and things could have been a lot better if we had some things go our way. And You know, listen, we don't want to play the game of what ifs, because that's not the type of game that you want to play. And you lost those games like that. At the end of the day, we lost and we were 4-13. We didn't make the playoffs and we were not a good football team, but we have a good defense. All right. We have a lot of pieces in place to be a good defense. We have guys coming back. You know, we're returning some guys on offense and we're going to build this offense and we're going to get a quarterback and we're going to bring in some guys eventually and we're going to draft some guys and we're going to make this. Listen, we got to start from the ground up. We're going to start from the ground up on the offensive side of things and we're going to get it there. And you're going to be a big part of this. You're going to be a huge, you're going to play a gigantic role in making and getting this offense to where it needs to be. And to me as a player, that's all I need to hear. If you're going to sit here and tell me that, listen, the promise is a promise, right? Now you go ahead and then not play me, then I'm going to be pissed and I'm going to be a problem in the locker room. You don't want that, right? If you're going to tell me that you're going to play a big role, right? And we want you here because I know what type of player you are and I want to be able you to help this offense. You're going to get the ball. You're going to be a big part of what we're going to be doing throughout the season. Yeah, I mean, cool. I'm on board, right? Like as a player, that's kind of the things that you want to hear. You know, you want to be a part of it. You want to have a role and you want to be able to go out and kind of showcase your own talents. And free agency is a stressful thing, man. And for some of them it might have just made sense. They probably loved Gerard. They liked Boston and, you know, it's a great fan base. And, you know, obviously the history speaks for itself. So, you know, there are a lot of things that I could sit here and probably pitch some free agents and get them to sign today.
Yeah, it is. We've talked about this before. There's no longer the lure of playing with Tom Brady.
Nope.
Honestly, there's no longer the lure of it. And I know guys got signed because the opportunity to play for a guy like Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You know, all of that is now and it started from zero. And again, I have a lot of respect for guys. You know, I have a lot of respect for a guy like Bourne, who could have gone somewhere else, even with a knee thing that, you know, he re-signed here. He wants to be a part of the solution. He wants to be here when things turn around. He wants to be remembered as one of those guys who helped pull the thing kind of.
And not only that, like he got a good deal, you know, like he didn't for a guy coming off ACL, like. The New England is clearly putting some value into the guy, the type of person and type of player that he showed that he was and how valuable he can be to the offense and to the team. So, you know, I credit him for what he did throughout the season, but also the organization for seeing that and wanting to keep that type of guy in the locker room and knowing that he'll come back hopefully stronger and kind of just kind of pick up where he left off.
All right, last question for me. Our friends at Bet Online have the over-under numbers, the wins and losses out, even on April 2nd.
April 2nd.
You can bet on the over-under in terms of wins for the Patriots. First of all, do you want to guess what the number is, what the total over-under number is? And then I'll guess if you're going to take the over or the under.
8.
That's actually a look of disgust for me right there. It's 4.5.
Come on.
They set the over-under for the Patriots this year at 4.5.
Over, so over.
You're taking the over. They are, just for comparison's sake, they are at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the final number. With them and the Carolina Panthers are both set at 4.5.
Good. I love proving people wrong. Couldn't get any more joy out of my day than pissing people off and winning 8, 9, 10 games next season. Can't wait.
I think honestly, the way in there's a million miles between now and the start of the regular season. What it's like it's 5 months.
Yeah.
Now in the start of the 2024 season, if they approach 500, they should break out the duck boats. I do. I honestly do, man. As we're sitting here and look. It could all of a sudden change with the draft. They could crush the draft and they could end up signing a bunch of great complimentary free agents like, you know, Steph Gilmore. And
there's guys out there, man. But listen, we haven't spent the money, but maybe we're waiting. You know, there's a lot of free agents. Also guys that are veterans that have been around a little bit. Be like, hey, why am I going to sign now? Have to go through OTAs, have to go through mini camp. Like, let me sit here, wait for the draft, wait for mini camp, all that stuff to be over. And then weigh my options. Mm-hmm. sometimes it doesn't work out financially, right? For guys that are going to get paid less or whatever that is. But also, you're going to see what teams, like, do you really want to go to and what teams need that sort of help. So it can go both ways for a lot of these guys. I certainly was one of those guys in the late, I waited, for as long as I could. And, you want to make sure you're making the right decision. So hopefully if there's some cash left over, I hope that it's not left over come August, whatever the start of the season.
Well, we're still going to leave a light on for Steph Gilmore.
That's
as of April 2nd here, he still is not signed.
I'll drive to Dallas and go pick him up and drive him back to Foxborough.
That's perfect. So we're both in agreement. We're going to take the over and we'll see how it all works out.
Love it.
All right, Chris Hogan, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again very, very soon.
All right, Chris.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. The tournament is here, and Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season. With the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.